Hello again and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we release brand new episodes. Also, don't forget to share. If you like what you hear, share it with everyone you know. This episode is going to focus on a question that I think is quite important, especially on the topic of discussion. What is the biggest problem facing the United States today? I think that's a really important question that everyone needs to ask themselves, because there's a lot there. There's a lot there to unpack. There are so many issues facing America right now, especially there's high gas prices, there's inflation on everything. We're being taxed like crazy, yet the things that taxes are supposed to actually finance, like the police department, fixing our streets and our roads, taking care of the elderly and the sick, helping people take care of themselves, that stuff is not happening. The government is taking our money and sending it to Ukraine. When's the last time you've been asked when was the last time you were asked by the government what you wanted to do with your tax money? Never. The government never asked for us. Like, they tell us, they run and say they want to speak for us and be our voices, but in reality, they don't. The government doesn't care about us. The government doesn't care about what we think or what we want to do with our taxes. They always run on the guise that they want to be our voices, but when it comes down to it, they don't want to speak for us. They want to speak at us. They want to talk at us. They don't ever want to talk with us. They never care about what we think unless they're campaigning. And we keep running into the same walls and keep falling for the same rhetoric. These politicians come down, they go into the workforce and they say, we want to help you guys get that. I used to work here and this and this. We see Joe Biden all the time. He's the graduate, or, you know, he's a top graduate in this school. Come to find out, he didn't go to that school. He graduated with 4 degrees and come to find out he didn't. He graduated with the top GPA. Come to find out he didn't. These politicians always promise us better education, better prices, better gas. And then we keep falling for that same stuff. We keep voting for them. And then what happens? Nothing. How much money has the government given you this year? Just this year. And our government has given, I mean, we have homeless people on the streets. We got veterans out that have nowhere to lay their head. We have elderly people that can't put a roof over their heads because they don't have any support. We have people who need surgeries who can't get those surgeries. We have people who are getting wrongfully arrested and convicted because they don't have enough money to pay for an attorney that will actually fight and defend them. Meanwhile, you're driving your car on the streets or riding your bike on the streets and you fall into a massive pothole. Your beautiful rims in your car get dented. Your car starts getting damages because of these potholes and the quality of these roads. Your tires are being wore down a lot faster because of the quality of the roads. Our bridges are always getting messed up some way, somehow. There's always something wrong with the streets. There's always it seems like these construction crews are on the freeways and they're there for months. And then after they finish, you're like, what were you doing? You can't see any difference to what, you know, the before and after. So it's like, what are you guys doing? Where is all our tax money going? Because it's not fixing our roads. But every president always promises, oh, we're going to fix the infrastructure. We're going to fix the roads. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And the Democratic politicians keep blaming the Republicans on why stuff is not getting done. And I was trying to think, I was like, how do I defend against that? You know, like, is there some truth in that? I always try to look for truth, regardless of where, you know, who says what. I always try to look for truth. That's what being a real journalist and a real seeker of wisdom and knowledge is. We look for truth wherever it comes from. Because essentially, God is the source of all truth. So a hypocrite can speak truth. And if you're willing to hear it, you'll find it. So I'm looking at this. I'm like, you know, are Republicans really causing these problems? You know, I was a diehard Republican. Like, I love being a Republican. But then, you know, I'm seeing a lot of these guys that are in office now as Republicans, they're just spineless. They have no backbone. They're not standing up for the people. They're not rising up. They're not defending anyone's rights. They're just letting people steamroll over them. But let's shed some light on the reality. When the Democrats had the House, the Senate, and the White House, They had all control of this country. What happened? Ukraine got billions upon billions upon billions of dollars. Millions and millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars were wasted on frivolous things to make Trump look bad, rather than actually get something that stuck and was a real legitimate claim and then say, let's write it in, let's convict him. And people are like, look, I don't like Trump, I don't care. Look, that's not the focus of this. The focus is so much money was being misused when it could have been helping fix our roads, when it could have been improving the infrastructure of our communities, where it could have been improving the type of literature and school tools that are available to our children. It could have been helping increase the livelihood of the economical value of our lifestyles. It could be increasing jobs in America so that less work is outsourced, more is insourced, and our economy and our dollar is worth more. The unemployment rate would shrink. If they would use the money on us rather than giving it to everyone else, look, just look. Billions upon billions of dollars were given to Ukraine. When were you asked how you felt about that by the government? Never. They forget who they work for. So what do? Because they don't want you focusing on what they're doing. Like if you go to a magic show and you watch a magician's going to distract you with one hand why they actually perform the magic trick in the other hand. That's just what they do. They want your eyes somewhere else where you think the magic trick's going to happen. Meanwhile, they're using the other hand to actually do the sleight of hand, which is where the trick happens. So what is the government doing right now to keep us from paying attention to them? They want to keep reminding us about January 6th. They won't tell the whole story. They'll just talk to you about January 6th. Oh my gosh, those guys are crazy. Those people were massive. Just they were so horrible. They invaded and just trespassed on the state capitol. Okay, let's just kind of unpack that a little bit. Now, before we unpack it, I would like for everyone, if you're super anti-Trump, take your anti-Trump goggles off and just listen to truth. Take your emotions of how you feel about Donald Trump. Take it off the table. Just take it off the table and just listen to actual logic and actual reality. What happened during January 6th? We have been kicked in the butt by the government so long and you know, the election happened. There's like 130 something thousand or 130 something million voters, registered voters in the United States right now. Trump got about 74, 75 million votes. That's how many votes were affirmed for him. So if you do the math, there's only like about 50 million more votes available. How did Biden get 81 votes? We were really irritated by that. So what do? The problem was with the Congress. So what do? They go and storm and protest at the Congress. It makes sense. You have a problem with Congress, you go to Congress. What did the BLM protest do? The BLM protesters had a problem with crooked cops killing black people. And then they destroy our communities. They stop good law-abiding citizens from getting home to their families by stopping traffic on the freeways. There's people that have nothing to do with anything that happened to George Floyd or any other person that was unlawfully killed or by a cop, and they couldn't get home to their kids. Some of them, those parents had sick children they couldn't get to because there's a bunch of activists on the freeway stopping them from getting home. So rather than go to the police departments and actually protest, they came and caused a bunch of distress, mayhem, and mischief. You know, they cause us to suffer rather than causing the government to suffer. And that's the thing that really irritates me. It's really sad. It's extremely sad that the people that suffer are the victims, not the accuser, or excuse me, not the accusers, but the violators, not the aggressors. Hey, what's going on, Jason? Welcome.
Hey, how you doing? I walked in the last 5 minutes. So I'm just curious, are you against protesting or for it? I'm a little confused here.
As a veteran, I'm 100% pro-protest. I believe in protesting as long as it doesn't infringe upon the rights of other people.
Well, that's the thing. It's never convenient when you protest. It's never going to be. And if you protest and win under conveniences, you know, I understand why you're saying what it is, but, you know, the way that the Constitution that we've upheld during our time of service, regardless whether we're veterans or not, is exercisable by all human beings, no matter if citizen or not. That thing that, you know, even non-citizens can still protest rightfully, you know, and where it takes place. You know, like what happened with when I'm an independent. I don't favor either party. I think they're both garbage. I think they're both agenda driven. And I think that they're both not really seeking out what the people really need, because for the people, by the people is not the core. Because if that were so, then the Electoral College would have been gotten rid of years ago, 100 years ago, to be specific. You know,
the Electoral College?
Women developed the Electoral College. Women right to vote.
Well, one of the reasons why the Electoral College, a lot of people are very much against the Electoral College, but one of the reasons why the Electoral College was established was because it wanted to make sure that every state had a fair voice. Because majority of the population in the United States lives on the coastal cities. So if we just do a popular vote, the people who live in the coastal cities will determine who is the leadership of the country forever. That's just how it works.
Granted, but Jefferson and Washington both advised where the distribution of population would not necessarily favor for the Electoral College to exist. Since in 100 years ago, in 1920, you know, we're talking post-World War I, a new economy, a global economy was really getting its grassroots, and where that economy influenced was people in the election process. Distribution of wealth was never going to be fair. And it was never going to be fair according to what? Voter districting rights? No. So I understand why they did it, but even it had its fault. Jefferson highly criticized the Electoral College, even though he was one of the four founding fathers that promoted it, because it was a wild frontier. I mean, how can you explain 13 colonies to expand across the 50 different states? But that's not why I'm talking. My question was, you know, specifically, when you protest, unfortunately, you know, I've been a part of them. They do get in the way at times. Sometimes I think they're for outlandish reasons. But when protests erupt of violence and riots, I'm absolutely against, because riots don't make never sense to anybody. It never does, you know, and the aftermath and what's the follow-up. People are easily guided to a perspective that where are we really getting along? I mean, do people really realize that many countries have bought our treasury bonds?
Oh, yeah.
Because our spending is out of hand. People realize that when they say that China owns us, if they really took an evaluation of how many bonds they sold, the amount of cash that they printed in the last 40 years, this is not 10 years, it's not 4 years, this is 40 years. Military spending has been grossly negligent and out of hand.
Yeah. And pretty much China owns all of our ports as well.
Right now, their companies own sources, but they actually land. No, they don't. But they own the processing, the machinery, the controlling interests, which is very powerful.
These individuals that are from China that actually working on behalf of China, they actually own much of our ports. They control much of what we ship in and ship out.
I'm telling you, because I do work with ports. I do work with agriculture law. I work in maritime law. So, no, they don't. They own certain interests within the ports, but they do.
I lost you. Don't leave, Mr. Julian. I'm definitely going to get to you. Let me get back to Jason. Let him finish his point. Yeah, the information I was given by a lot of realtors and a bunch of people who are in shipping, like these sources are different from you. So I don't do it personally, so I can't refute what you're saying. See, based off of fact, but all I can go off is the individuals who are into shipping large containers, who work with these large containers, who are in the in various shipping, Maersk. And other big tankers that are carrying large amounts of trailers and storage units across the ocean. Like, pretty much that's China's thing. And a lot of the real estate moguls, like the biggest real estate moguls in this country, are Chinese. China owns
but I understand why you're saying that. I understand, and I'm going to answer your point. Okay, so no foreign body or interest can own actual land. However, they can own operations, and they pay these leases. They don't own it. They pay the leasing rights. So when you pay, like when you go into the Port of Los Angeles, you go to the Port of, you know, the Bay Area, you go to Oakland, where a lot of shipping is unloaded for the West Coast. Then you look at New Orleans, you look at Virginia, you look at New York, Port of New York, you know, several of those big interest ports, they are actually owned by our government. It's government property. And why? Because they need to make sure that there's no foreign influence that stops trade. So if they want to shut it down, they can be overridden. They can lose their leasing rights of property. Now, no one said that the port itself, see, the port is run by the Port Authority. Those are government run, those entities. They may own the containers actually on the land, but they don't own the land itself. And at any time, if the government decides to refute their lease operations, it's canceled. And that's what people don't understand.
Yeah, America has eminent domain rights. Yeah, absolutely. And but like, there's lots of American citizens who are Chinese, you know, Chinese descendants, who there's lots of people that own businesses that actually live or they're citizens of other countries, but they have descendants and relatives that live in America or have an American citizenship, and they're the ones that own it's in their name. Just like the tons of landscapers and construction workers who don't have legal documentation to work, but they're working and operating this company and getting all the profit. But the name of the company and license in the company is in the citizen's name.
And that also, that same theory has been run overseas as well. That you have the same policy all over the world, many different cultures, believe it or not. And China does not own all of them. But they have a great interest in a lot.
There's a lot of politicians out there. And I've looked at the pensions that they're supposed to be getting. There's no, AOC. She's worth millions and millions of dollars. She's worth something like $25 million. And she was a broke bartender not too long ago. These politicians, and according to the research that I've seen and according to the numbers that I've been finding, like I saw this post, a broke bartender elected to Congress almost 6 years ago with the salary of $155,000 a year is now worth $29 million. But the FBI is kicking down the door of Donald Trump. Like the whole purpose of me saying that is like a lot of these politicians that are able to, you know, sign over deals and authorize trades and stuff like that, they're getting backdoor payments. There's no reason a lot of these politicians should be millionaires, Republicans and Democrats both. Like the political parties are.
That applies to everybody.
Yeah.
That applies to everybody. And I would also have to counter that there are so many Republicans that have outsourced their companies to foreign interests.
Yeah.
And then they hire. I'm a Mexican American, you know what? And they hired, but they don't pay the penalties for hiring illegal immigrants. And yet they're the biggest ones who cry the most about the wall. So we've got to be careful about when you cry wolf, who's crying wolf, you know.
I agree.
My time's gonna expire though. So, but I'm going to go on and listen, Ross. I just wanted to say hello, but I was listening to what you were saying.
Oh, no problem, dude. You're always welcome, and your feedback is always absolutely golden, man. Thank you. It's a very important thing. Like, you know, like I was saying to Joyce, to Jason's point, like there is definitely corruption on both sides. Like I've been a big Republican until Trump was president. I really enjoyed being a Republican, especially when he was president, because for various reasons. But after he got out of office, I started seeing a lot of true colors, a lot of these Republicans and a lot of, you know, politicians in general on both sides are just destroying this country like in ways I've never seen before. Mr. Julian, thank you so much for your patience and waiting, man. I really appreciate it. Welcome to the show.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know. Up. Can you hear
me? Yeah, I heard you hawking and spitting and everything. That was awesome.
My bad, bro.
No, no worries.
I was like, what the hell? Listen, one thing I want to start off saying, respect your opinion. I respect his opinion. So, but I haven't been on in a while, but I'm going to start getting back on it. But and I said to say this.
Your mic is cutting in and out.
Which politician is the shittiest? Or which politician? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You kind of sound a little distant from the microphone, but I can hear you. If you're talking, I can't hear you right now.
Can you hear me back?
There we go. Okay.
Better?
Yeah.
Can you hear me better?
Yes.
All right, bet. All right, so you said a couple things I just want to touch on. One of the main things is, like,
your mic is cutting out. Like it's interesting because you like get to the point and then your mic cuts off. Like you're like, all right, one of the main things that I want to say is
agree or disagree.
Well, your mic was cutting off, so we couldn't hear you.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I want to switch headsets. Because I want to talk to you about this. I was asking, can you hear me better now or no?
Yes. Like you cut in and then you cut out, but like right there, I just heard you well.
Okay, so what I was trying to say is there's a situation where it's like you were pretty much saying like people were being aggressive and the protests and they're blocking the streets. Now I'm an American just like you. How do you feel about our own Americans going in and trying to fuck up our building and our Capitol building, to be exact?
Well, look,
we're not talking about a Dollar Tree here. We're talking about a building that means a lot to our respect as Americans.
Okay, that's a good question. Like I've actually looked into the research in this, and I don't recall any damage actually done. Like no buildings were burnt. Like none of the Capitol was burnt down. Like it wasn't destroyed. In fact, there's lots of videos of the Capitol Police opening the doors and letting the people in. They just sat there and took a bunch of pictures. You know, Nancy Pelosi's computer apparently was taken, and then that was swept under the rug. But they didn't destroy the building. They just occupied it. But when you look at the BLM protests, they destroyed countless businesses. I live in LA and I was driving past Beverly Hills and seeing all the destroyed businesses and all the people that were, you know, forced out of business because, you know, their buildings were beyond repair. I support protests, but when it infringes upon the right to other people, it's no longer protest. It's illegal. A protest is not allowed to infringe upon the rights of anyone else. Because the Capitol is a public it is a publicly funded building. They do have the right to protest lawfully now. But the thing that the media has been trying to do is the media has been trying to say that Trump never, he encouraged that violence and he never asked for peace until like an hour or so later. But there was actually a lot of evidence showing that he at like an hour before, at 3 o'clock, he was like, hey, guys, stop protesting. We need to be peaceful. On his talk, he actually said we need to go down and make sure our voices are heard. We're going to march down to the Capitol and we are going to, and he stressed a word, we're going to peacefully protest. Now, the thing is that whether people like Trump or don't like Trump, that's not the point. It's just, let's get the facts out there. The people didn't destroy the Capitol building. That never happened. The Capitol building was invaded by American people who happened to just stand there. Your mic is cutting out. Your mic is still cutting out. I can't hear you.
Hello?
I heard you say hello. Yeah, you're gonna have to change headsets so we can hear you better. Because I definitely do welcome this. I definitely welcome I want everybody to be able to talk. I really welcome everybody's feedback. I welcome, you know, the discussion, because this is a big deal. Like, the whole purpose of this episode is like, what is the biggest problem facing the United States today? The biggest problem is that we're being fed only part of the story. We're not being fed facts from the news. The news media is no longer reliable. They're giving us a biased opinion or a biased angle of what they call the truth. And because we're being fed that, we're formulating opinions based off of the stuff we're being fed. But if we were being fed 100% non-biased truth, then we can formulate our own opinions. In my opinion, the biggest problem facing the United States today is that we are not having dialogues. We're not finding or formulating opinions based off of truth. That's what I'm saying.
Here's another problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Hello, can you hear me now?
I can hear you much better.
Oh my God. All right. I was probably on Wi-Fi and I'm outside trying to talk to you.
No. So
here's the thing. What I'm trying to say is, this is what a lot of people don't know. I'm not gonna even say who I voted for. I'll just say I'm a businessman first before anything, right?
Okay.
Secondly, I'm gonna say there's a lot of parties arguing about the same shit, but there's a lot of parties not having good communication.
Yes.
Now, how do you feel about transgender bathrooms? I hate it. That's my personal opinion. I have a kid. I don't agree with it. I think it's a fucked up thing, and I'm not cool with it. How do you feel about it?
Well, that's a good question as well. I think if they're going to make transgender restrooms as a transgender restroom, I believe that's acceptable. But I do not believe that a transgender male to female should be able to enter a woman's restroom. Likewise, vice versa, with a female to male entering a male's restroom. I believe transgenders should have their own sports leagues and their own restrooms, because there are people that are just working the system for the wrong reasons. I'm not saying they're all doing that, but women have a right to safety. Women have a right to privacy, just like men do. Yeah. And there were transgender male to female inmates being put in prison, and they're getting women pregnant.
Yeah.
Which is
dirty and wrong.
Yes. So in my opinion, I think that transgender restrooms as a classification of transgender restrooms is okay, but I do not believe that transgenders should be able to use the male or female restrooms. I think that's just an invasion of privacy of the other person, because, like I said, women have the right to feel safe when they use the restroom, and men have that right as well. And there are people who are transgender who are sincere about that transition, about their lifestyle. They are very sincere. But then you have a lot of people just working the system, like we see constantly, where we see all these athletes that suck against their own sex, like male athletes that can't compete against males, so they jump over and they all of a sudden they're transgender and they want to dominate, like, yeah, and take all the records and stuff. So that's, I'm against that. I think that if you're transgender, they should have a league for transgenders so that they can compete against each other and it's a fair base.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Do you have any black friends though?
Do I have any what?
Black friends, African-American friends.
Oh yeah, I'm black myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I got friends of all cultures.
Me too. Actually, my son is biracial, so I don't really care about race. I don't look at race. I look at dollars.
Yeah.
Now, the thing you ask is, what is the biggest problem facing the United States today? The biggest problem is we're doing away with the entire middle class. Chase Bank, for instance, just purchased, I think, $2 billion worth of real estate. I'm a realtor in Colorado, in Georgia, and Florida. So I have expertise in real estate, right? I'm also a landlord, so I know how this game works. They're telling everybody right now, don't buy any houses, don't buy any houses. But why would Chase Bank spend $2 billion on residential properties?
Well, I think one of the reasons why they would do that is because they don't have to pay interest. They can buy it cash out. The reason why they're telling a lot of people not to buy houses, from, as I understand from the realtors I know, is that the interest is going to be very high and they believe that the market's going to drop further. So Chase is actually, you know, being pretty tactical about this approach. Let me get Sal. I'll come back to you, Mr. J. I'll definitely come back to you. There's a lot of problems facing the United States right now, but I think like the biggest one is the lack of dialogue, lack of unity, because they like people are being pit against each other by race. Me and Mr. J were talking about or Mr. Julianne, we were talking about this, and we kind of touched on it. There a lot of division is happening based off of race, or based off of a class. There's so much division because when I was making the allegory to the magician for actually performing the trick in the opposite hand, whereas they're distracting with one hand, we are being distracted right now by the government. The government is telling us, hey, look, they keep giving us these matter of fact, I'll get right back to that point. What's up, Sal? Welcome to the show, brother. Hello? Can you hear me, Sal? I think his mic might not be working. I have a lot of technical difficulties this evening. So I actually looked, to get back to my point, I looked at this. I wanted to see if I was onto something or if I was just imagining this. So when I looked at different movies, I wanted to look and see since 2010, how many Holocaust movies were made? And I actually looked it up. In the last 12 years, since 2010, there have been 11 Holocaust films in the United States. And I wrote down the name of every one of them. There was one in 2010, one in 2016. There was two in 2017, two in 2018, one in 2019, and four in 2020. I looked up, the movies in the last 12 years for Jewish slavery. One in 2014, one in 2016. There were a total of two. I looked up how many films were made about black slavery in the last, since 2010. There were 31 films at least. There are so many more way before that, and there's so many more other ones that were all over, but 31 films. Now, it can be argued that, well, we want to remember the black history. We want to remember the importance of what we came through, and, these movies are great films of triumph. Yeah, absolutely. But you know what they also do? They remind us what the narrative is, that white people enslaved our ancestors. That's the narrative. Every time you see a slave movie, you don't see black slave owners. You only see white slave owners. And you see the most ruthless of those white slave owners doing that. So the Hollywood media is reminding us and trying to keep that thought process fresh in our minds, that you were once slaves. Your ancestors were slaves. And guess what? They were slaves of white people. That's what the narrative is. They never talk about the fact that the Portuguese were also slave owners, that the Spanish were slave owners. They don't talk about that stuff very often. It's very rare. They kind of just graze over it. They don't talk about the black slave owners. They never address that because it would destroy the narrative. If they were focused and talk about the black slave owners that existed, they'd be like, oh, crap. But we can't use the whole racism is the biggest problem in America thing. That just gets blown out of the water. We can't keep reminding them of slavery because, that's going to get blown out of the water too. But the fact is that what is the result of all these films happening and being reminded that our ancestors were slaves and white people were the slave owners? That's the narrative that they want to push, even though it's not accurate. What's the result? This growing chasm, this Grand Canyon between white people and black people, this focus on color. And then they want to tell us, and the government wants to tell us that the biggest problem today in America is racism. Really? The biggest problem in black America, and what I mean by that is like the black community, the biggest problem is the amount of fathers who are not there for their kids. The divorce rate, the abortion rate amongst blacks is higher than any other culture out there. Those are bigger problems than, oh crap, we were slaves once before. If we start looking at truth through the eyes of truth rather than looking at it through the eyes of color, we'll start waking up and seeing things as they really are. And we will start seeing people rather than races. We see somebody and the first thing we notice is the color of their skin. That's because we're being conditioned and programmed to think that way. Look at what's happening all around us. If you have liberal views, then everyone supports your right for free speech and ever this and that. And it's okay. You can say whatever you want. But if you express a conservative view, you're a homophobe, or you're a racist, or you're this, or you're that, you're automatically attacked and called something you may not be because you don't want to follow the narrative. We're even being called fascists. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe a fascist is someone who wants everyone to think the exact same way. So the people calling us fascists are actually fascists. And then we're not seeing the people on the news that came from Cuba, that came from China, that came from North Korea, that came from communist and socialist countries. And those individuals that are on YouTube and on and very conservative media telling people, look, I was there. This is not what you want. You guys are headed for a communist or socialist government. And what always ends up happening is the government gets all the money and all the power and you get nothing. Look what's happening. The government is giving us all this quote unquote free stuff. It's little by little that the government is starting to control our food. Once they control our food, they control us. They are taking away our rights one at a time. Look at Elon Musk. He just revealed that the FBI, with our tax dollars, was bribing and pushing the censorship, the overly censorship of Twitter. The FBI was telling people which accounts to ban, which accounts to suspend, which accounts to censor, which accounts to limit. This stuff is happening, yet you don't hear about it on CNN. You don't hear about this on MSNBC and all these other things. And here's another thing. If you're not familiar with propaganda, whoever controls the propaganda, like the leader who's given out the narrative, the leader would give them keywords that they want them to say. Listen to the media and watch how often they say the exact same things word for word. Oh, this is a Russian disinformation ploy. This is Russian disinformation. You hear a lot of different channels saying those exact same words. That's how propaganda works. When propaganda is done right, you don't realize it's propaganda because it sounds right. It's coming from someone you like. They don't go out there and get somebody that you can't stand to share propaganda because you're not going to listen to them. They want to go out to the people who have the most influence, who are the most popular, and they tell them, hey, I'll give you a ton of money and freedom when my new world order starts. All I want for you to do is to push this story. And then be like, okay. And don't start thinking, oh, well, you know, good people aren't going to do that. These popular people won't do that. When it comes down to survival, a lot of people will do just about anything. Case in point, the house slaves. The house slaves had it better than the field slaves. They didn't have to go out there and do all the hard, hot sun picking and all the hard, the hot labor out there in the sun. Those house slaves were pitted against the field slaves. And if the field slaves came out of line, the house slaves would be the first ones to tell on them. And very often, the ones who were in the house were the light-skinned slaves. So what makes you think that a celebrity who's got tons of followers and tons of fame is not going to sell the people that follow him out for an extra couple of million? A lot of people would do just about anything for $1 million, let alone $20 million. And unlimited, like, you have people telling you, hey, if you spread this propaganda and you start speaking against Trump and you start telling the same exact story that MSNBC and CNN and other news outlets are telling, I want you to say this stuff and I'll make sure you get another big movie. We're going to put you in the next Avengers movie. And then we're going to have another movie coming out for you that, because I know guys who work for DC, and we're going to have you in that too. And we're going to put you in the next Lord of the Rings film that we're going to do. Like, your career is about to launch if you just say this. A lot of people will do that. Yeah, it sucks to be the recipient of this damage of propaganda, But you got to have a little sympathy to understand these people are money hungry. Well, let me retract that. You don't have sympathy for people who are money hungry. But it gives you an easier picture or easier way to look at it, that these people are just, they want a better career. They want to thrive. They want to be legends in their field. They don't want to have to worry about bills. But the freedom of speech is one of our most powerful rights. That's why it's in the First Amendment. It's one of our most powerful rights. If we are silenced and they take away our ability to speak and think for ourselves, like they're doing in schools, like you go to college, if you're liberal, you can say whatever you want. If you go to college and you're conservative and you speak out, you can be expelled from the school because somebody can say you said something you didn't, or they can frame you or imply something against you, or say that, oh, we looked at your social media and you made a post that is unbecoming of what our school stands for, so we're going to expel you from the school. And HR is largely becoming very liberal. So they're going through your social media and firing people who are liberal and who don't follow the narrative that they want them to have. And then on top of that, once you're fired, then they go start talking to other people. Hey, if you see this person applying for a job, don't hire them. He's a conservative. They're literally doing this. There was an HR woman that was on TikTok that admitted that. And she got fired because she brought it to light. The biggest problem facing the United States today is not the problem of race. It's the problem with not doing our own research. We are thinking through the eyes of color. We are thinking that because we see a black anchor telling us a story and we're black, we're like, oh yeah, they have to be telling the truth. Rather than listening to an anchor tell a story and then doing our own research. People will believe left and right that Trump is racist because they were told that, rather than actually do the research and see the tons of black people that Trump has helped way before he was in office. There are countless individuals, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton were side by side with Trump, shaking his hand, hugging him, taking pictures with him. They loved that man until they were told not to. I do not like Jesse Jackson. I do not like Al Sharpton. During Dr. King's time, yeah, those guys were fighting for the good fight, but something happened. Someone bought him out. Something happened. Al Sharpton doesn't care about civil rights. He cares about airtime. These guys don't care about their people. They don't care about the American people getting equal rights and having a better quality of life. They only care about money. They care about fame, just like mayors do whenever they run, governors and politicians. They want, like, they're from... You know these guys are racist, but what do they do? Oh, man, like Joe Biden literally had a friend who is a KKK member. I have a picture in my phone of him holding hands with this guy. It was I forgot what state he was a senator of, but he was like a known KKK Klansman. And Hillary Clinton was also good friends with him. I have a picture of that same guy kissing Hillary Clinton. These individuals, they don't get talked about. When it comes, that, like, those questions are never brought up by reporters. They never talk about that stuff. Why? Because it's not in the narrative. We want them to be in power, so we're not going to talk about the fact that they literally are great friends with Klansmen. But man, how do I get the black vote? Well, I'm gonna go to Charlemagne the God on the Breakfast Show or Breakfast Club or whatever that show is called, and let's have him sit down. Hillary Clinton's gonna sit down, and then Charmaine asks a stupid question. What do you have in your purse? What do you take everywhere with your purse? And then Hillary Clinton goes, hot sauce. That wasn't scripted because Beyonce said that in one of her songs. And he goes, what? Are we about to get in formation? Like, that was a pandering to the black community. What do they also do? They get black artists to come up there and perform at their concerts or at their campaign speeches. They pander. Pandering doesn't come from a form of sincerity. It comes from giving you a pacifier to shut you up and bribe you. That's what pandering is. So that's why you see all these politicians that don't care about you surround themselves with kids that look just like you, and then they hold them and kiss them and smile at them. Meanwhile, as soon as they're done, they don't care about those kids. They don't go out and make donations into their campaigns or into scholarships or schooling, nothing like that. All of a sudden, these Democratic politicians want to talk about DACA, but when they were in power, they didn't care about DACA. This episode was not meant to be focusing on politics. It's meant to be focusing on, we need to wake up and start doing our own research. I do my research all the time. Now, having said that, just like when Jason was talking, he brought up some points of which I was not aware. You know, and he had better, he is a personal source. You know, he lives that. So we were able to exchange ideas and talk about, you know, I was able to talk about the sources I had that told me the things that I know. And he was able to tell me from his experience as well. So this is what dialogue does. It opens your mind so that we can exchange ideas and talk about things and come to a better opinion or conclusion on a subject. Blacks are killing blacks like crazy. Where is Black Lives Matter there? Thousands of black people are getting killed in Chicago by other black people. Where's Black Lives Matter there? Where's BLM? Silent. Where's Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson calling for unity in the black people? They're nowhere to be found. That's evidence of their hypocrisy and of how fake these individuals are. The only way out is to open our eyes and stop voting Democrat and stop voting Republican based off of party. Listen to the person. Listen to what they're saying. Vote for the best candidate. If there is a Democratic candidate who actually is better and has a track record to prove it than a Republican, vote for him. If there is a Republican candidate that is a better candidate than the Democrat, vote for him. Vote for the best candidate, not because of the skin color you have or the skin color they have or the religion they have. Vote for them because they are the best candidate. I'll tell you another example of how to know we've been brainwashed without realizing it. I'm sure every one of us listening right now has watched a presidential debate. When's the last time you've seen a presidential candidate who was independent? Every year or every election year, there is a name on the ballot that is independent. And we have no idea who that person is unless you've been following him. There are also many other people who run for office for the presidency, and we have no idea who they are. Why? Because they were not invited to the presidential debate. Why? Because the Hollywood media and those who pull the strings of the Hollywood media want you to think that there are only two parties that matter, either Democrat or Republican. The thing is, independents have their own mindset. They think for themselves. As much as I align more with Republican values, not what these politicians are doing, but with actually what's written on the charter, the historical charter as well, about what Republicans did to free the slaves, fighting for equality, like the various things that they did for our community. We used to thrive under Republicans when they were real traditional for the people politicians. But money has a way of corrupting people. And I'm ashamed at what the Republican Party is doing now, having no backbone. There are a few people who are still fighting, a few Republicans who are stalwart warriors who are fighting for the voice of the people. And there are very few Democratic politicians who are also fighting for what they believe to be true. But the overwhelming majority of these politicians in office are just sitting there, sending our money to Ukraine, taking more of our money, selling us out, and doing nothing for us. And we keep electing them. Why? Because we've fallen for the narrative that whites are inherently racist and blacks are inherently victims. That's the narrative. That's the bait that they want us to fall under, or that they want us to take. It's nonsense. That's not the biggest problem. What would happen if we would become united? What would happen if we stopped seeing race and we started exchanging ideas? People would start having conversations and finding out facts they didn't know existed. And then we would start uniting and demanding that these politicians get out of office if they're not going to do what we hired them to do. Could you imagine if you were a company owner? You owned your own company. Imagine if these politicians who are in office right now, if they were the people you hired. I'm confident just about every one of them would be fired. I'm confident Joe Biden would be fired. The man can't even formulate an entire sentence. The man's nowhere to be found unless they want to do. And like when Trump was president, he was in front of the press just about every day, especially when COVID was going on. He was in front of the press answering personally just about every day. He took on the press just about every day. Hard questions. What kind of questions does Biden talk? Oh, what kind of ice cream are you eating? The guy can't formulate a sentence. And then there's a politician that, and I believe it was in Pittsburgh, that goes up against Dr. Oz. I forget his name. The guy just had a stroke, you know, and I don't mean to like sound insulting toward that. It's not his fault that he had a stroke, and it's really sad. Having said that, he could not answer on his own. He needed to be fed answers in an earpiece to know what to be said during the debate. So he was interrupting Dr. Oz very late about one subject that Dr. Oz had moved on. You know, I'm not saying Dr. Oz is my candidate, but I'm saying he was the better of the two because he could at least formulate a sentence. Do you think that if you spoke the way that the opponent of Dr. Oz or Joe Biden speaks, do you think that you would get the job if you talked the way they did? No, none of us would. We all know Biden is a puppet. He's not doing anything for himself. The powers that be are getting their most radical agendas passed and putting it under Biden's signature. That way, none of them lose any political power or political momentum. That way, they can't get, you know, the finger doesn't get pointed back to them. That's what they're doing right now. That's what they're doing with Biden. That's what he is. He's just a puppet. And we keep voting for these puppets because they keep telling us the same exact thing. Just because a player says, I love you, doesn't mean that they really do. And just because someone says they're a vegan doesn't mean they don't have some meat hidden in the refrigerator when they do get really hungry. I'm saying it's important for us to start waking up, to stop taking everything so offensive. I hate when I hear people go, I'm offended for you. I'm like, I'm not offended, so shut up. Nobody's asking you what you think. We need to wake up. We need to have discussions. We need to exchange ideas. If whites and blacks and Asians and Latinos, if we all join together, this country can be a beautiful and very powerful and successful country. But that really just depends on how firm we are going to be with being united. As long as we keep saying, well, white people, or black people, as long as we keep focusing on color, you are to blame. Those of us who are focusing on color and blaming people for what happened in history and saying we're victims because of the color of our skin, or the white man is victimizing us, the white man's the reason why we are like this. You who adopt that mentality are the reason our country sucks right now. Victims don't make money. There are no Fortune 500 company owners or board members who see themselves as victims. Not one of them. And as long as you see yourself as a victim, the only change that happens is how much money is getting taken out of your account and how much power you have in the negative. Everything will be less than it is right now. We have to rise up. We have to start seeing people for who they are, and we have to start welcoming people with open arms, regardless of their background, their beliefs, the color of their skin, or who they love. When I was in the military and I went to war in Iraq, I didn't care who a person served. As long as your rifle was pointed in the same direction as mine and your enemies were my enemies, that's all that mattered. I didn't care if you were gay or straight. And this was back in the time of don't ask, don't tell. I didn't care. I so don't care who a person loves. I do care about you telling me how the ridiculous pronouns I have to address you. That's, you don't get to do that. You don't get to control my thoughts. You don't get to control my words. Just like I don't get to control your thoughts and I don't get to control your words. I said this in a recent broadcast. people want to keep talking about how many genders there are. Oh, there's like thousands of genders. Well, how many options do you have in gender reassignment surgery? You only have two. That's a scientific nail in the coffin that there are only two genders. You want to identify as anything else? That's your choice. But you don't get to demand that somebody else identify you as something you're not. And I've said this in a previous episode as well. If I want to identify as a wealthy person with this, with the 800 credit score, the bank is not going to say, well, you know, since those are your pronouns, you identify as a wealthy individual with the 800 credit score, I'm going to give you an $18 million loan with 2% interest on it. And I know I'm going to get it all back. They're not going to do that. They're going to be like, let's look at the facts. Let's look at your bank statements. Let's look at your pay stubs and let's actually pull your credit. And they're going to be like, ah, no, you're way far from what you said you were. That's just reality. There's a saying that's going over the internet right now, and I believe it 100%. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. If we keep being sensitive about everything that's going on right now just because we don't like it, our country's doomed. I'm telling you. Millennials have so much potential. They're so smart, but they're being softened by the schools. They're being softened by society. They're being weakened. They're being weakened at a rate that's never been done before. And it's really embarrassing, or it's really embarrassing because that's exactly what the enemy wants. The enemies of our country who have been eyeballing an invasion at the first opportunity they will get are looking and waiting for the men of our country to become weak, to become emasculated, to have no voice, to be so lazy they don't want to fight. That's what our enemies want. And we're actually on that path. And it's sad and very scary. Because if you're a feminist, I respect you and your right to be able to believe what you believe. But let's be real. Pull your bias aside. Women don't win wars. It's men who win wars because we're the ones that have to go fight. We're the ones that have to go lift up the heavy stuff, and we're the ones that have to go run into the gunfire. Our bodies are physically made to be able to do that kind of stuff. There's no war in history that was fought only by women. No war. There are battles, yes, battles, but not a war. Wars are always fought by men. Women may often influence those, but that's the fact. Like, they are not emasculating women. They are emasculating men. And that's weakening our military. That's weakening our future. The military has become woke. They're not even able to cuss at you anymore. Like, oh, you don't need to cuss. How do you know? Have you ever worn a uniform? Have you ever went to war? They don't need to put their hands on you. That stuff works. It prepares you for a difficult time. Shark attacks in the army are no longer allowed, which is where you have multiple drill sergeants coming up and yelling at you at the exact same time. Because it was so stressful, they took it out. So now they're creating soft soldiers. So if a soldier gets, you know, he or she happens to have access to top secret and very, very important data and information, the only things that the enemy that captures them has to do is go, we're gonna all yell at you at the same time. You're gonna open your mouth and tell us everything we want to know, and they'll break because you're not strengthened mentally. Our military is getting soft, which is scary, and if it does, that opens the door for an invasion. I'm telling you, the only reason why our country has not been invaded up to this point is because we're making lots of other countries a lot of money. China's making the majority of their money off of us. Ukraine's been making an incredible amount of money. We're buying oil from the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, and other countries. We're buying oil rather than selling oil, which we have a ton of oil. but we're not selling it. We rather buy oil. We're buying Russian oil, which is very dirty, very nasty quality. We're buying it from them. We're sending billions of dollars to Ukraine and buying oil from Russia. What kind of sense does that make? They don't want us united, people. They want us divided so that we can't stand against them. They want to emasculate our men so they can sell us to our enemy for the, you know, for the highest price. Make no mistake, there may be what appears to be peace, but there are countries who would love to take over America and have this land. It's a very, very perfectly placed land. So don't take this peace for granted. We need to be tough. We need to be strong. We need to start having thicker skin and stop taking everything for, you know, for granted and stop taking everything so personally. And it's important for us to start doing our own research. I mean, there's a lot to be said about this subject, but as I bring it to a close, I just wanted to open up the floor and see if there's anybody else that had anything they'd like to add before I bring it to a close. Because I really want our people to have that backbone that we once had during World War II, during, you know, the type of protest that happened in the Vietnam War. When people were protesting that war, they did it peacefully. They weren't out there destroying buildings. They were peacefully protesting. They weren't infringing upon the rights of other people. They were out there being, you know, being heard. They didn't need to destroy their own community. But they want you to believe that destroying your own community is having your voice heard. When has a riot changed law? When has a riot ever changed anything? The Rodney King riots didn't change anything. The Watts riots didn't change anything. The BLM riots didn't change anything. The Million Man March changed history. The March to Salem, that peaceful protest, changed history. The Declaration of Independence changed history because a nation stood together. A group of people inspired other people to stand together. The Freedom Riders who went inside restaurants that were white-only restaurants would sit down and refuse to leave and allow themselves to get beat up. These were not just black people. These were whites. These were Jews. These were Latinos. These were blacks all standing together and allowing themselves to be brutally attacked by racist individuals because they either were the wrong color or loved and supported the wrong color. Please join me in this. Spread this example to everybody else. Let your voices be heard that we're done with the lies. We're done with the division. We're done taking the bait. Racism is not the number one detriment to this country. It's division. Let's wake up, people. As always, I know you guys could spend time doing anything you want to do, and I'm so grateful that you allowed me into your ears, into your homes, into your cars, and for those of you at work, thank you for inviting me to spend this time with you as well. I hope you learned something. If I learned something, Jason and Mr. J, those guys taught me a number of great things, and I really enjoy the dialogue. And again, you don't always have to agree with what I'm saying, but the exercise here is to have a dialogue where we exchange ideas peacefully and respectfully. It's not all me talking when we're having a dialogue because it's two people, and it's not all you talking, it's us talking together. That's what America needs most. So we can unite and hold those people that are screwing us over and taking all of our money and giving nothing back so we can hold them accountable. That's their worst nightmare. When we stand together. Thank you so much for your time. You have a great evening. This is Real Talk with RJ, signing out.